Hey, good morning, everyone. Beautiful day here in Jim Hinckley's America.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Hey, good morning, everyone. It's another beautiful day here in Kingman, Arizona. 46 degrees, possibly a touch of rain. That's always a good thing. We're so dang dry out here. We're going to be hunting jerky instead of deer. We've got something really special for you this morning. There is a universal appeal with empty places, ghost towns, if you will. And there's something exciting when people have a project that they're so excited about that you get caught up in the dream. They have an infectious sense of enthusiasm. And this morning we're going to be visiting with Blanca Schaefer out of Amarillo, Texas. She has got quite a story to tell. Blanca, how are you doing this beautiful morning?
Good morning, Jim. We're doing great.
You and Blair are good, healthy, and happy, I see.
We are actually gearing up for our vegetable season, which happens to be out at the Jericho / Schaefer farm, and planning that out. And we have to stay as healthy and strong as we can for that.
Yes. You know, I follow your exploits out there at Jericho, and I just get excited every time I see what you're doing. I stopped out there the first time 20, 25 years ago, got some photos, and it was a haunting, empty place. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a hopeless romantic. I'm addicted to those empty places. And then when I saw that you two were taking that project on and giving it a new lease on life, I found that so fascinating. And the history of that town that you've uncovered, it's just transformative.
Yes. Definitely. You know, in 2020, I'll start with the journey part of how we came about with Little Jericho. My husband's family homestead at McClellan Creek, which is about a mile north of the old township of Jericho. So there's a Jericho Cemetery in the area as well that everybody stops at when they're traveling Route 66 or just kind of curious. In 2020, we were looking for some land to purchase, grow and develop, and that be our forever home. And what happened was that one day we went to Fort Worth area, Dallas-Fort Worth, picked up some pictures from Blair's older brother that Mama had left behind. And before you know it, we're piecing together puzzles that, oh my gosh, there was family that was born at Jericho, raised at Jericho. And then almost at the same time, Jericho Township came up for sale. And I told Blair, I said, hey, you know, what do you think about buying Jericho? And he was like, oh, no, I don't think so. And then about another week went by and he said, well, where's that link for Jericho? Let me see it. And so we just kind of started kicking that idea around, went out to look at it and drive around it. And of course, at that time, it was being leased by cattle, by the Britton family that has a leaning tower that everybody is familiar with. And so we just started looking around, and immediately we thought, wow, check out this treasure. You know, it wasn't a mess for us. It wasn't, wow, what happened here? It was, wow, what happened with the families? What are the stories? What could we learn from this? And almost immediately, we submitted a bid for that. And let me tell you how fate works, because there were farmers around us that owned lots and lots of land around Little Old Jericho. And when we speak to the gentlemen, they were telling us, you know, we tried to go to the bank and get a loan for Jericho, and the bank wouldn't give it to us. And these are big farmers around us. So it was fate, Jim. It was fate for us to have Jericho, because the Veterans Land Board said, yeah, Blair, we'll help you out. And there you go.
It's really exciting to see people of any age, but younger folks, take on a project like this. And not only giving the town a new life, but you know, you're inspiring lots of people with what you're doing here. Because when I stopped there was an old farmhouse. It was, the remains of a farmhouse and an old auto court.
Right.
And there wasn't, the history of Jericho was pretty thin. Of course, I didn't have time to delve deep, but I knew of its Route 66 Association. It's the Route 66 era, if you will, with the Jericho Gap. But I didn't realize that the town site had such a wonderful and deep and rich history.
Yes, definitely. Croc, Bob Lau, for everyone that knows Croc over here at Lau Art Gallery here in Amarillo, he had been so instrumental. He and Dora at Texas Ivy, we became friends when there was a Route International Festival when I worked at the Ambassador Hotel.
I remember that. That's where we met.
Yes. That was such an awesome place. Anyhow, they just really coached me throughout the years, and Blair and I. And when I talked to Croc, I was like, hey, I think we're about to buy Jericho. He goes, what? And then he just started giving me all the information that he knew, and just really sharing with me, as well as Dora. And we had remained friends ever since then. And when I started digging in, I would find articles written by you and various other folks that had traveled to Jericho. And I'm so grateful for that, because without that information, I really wouldn't know a whole lot about its heyday and what was going on, or just the lure and of the old ghost town of Jericho. And usually in the off season is when I dig in deep for Jericho history. So we have to go to these smaller museums. We're having to go to like McLean Museum. Mr. True and his family, Mike Oldham and Sue, have been wonderful historians for us with Jericho, and the McLean Allen Reed Museum, Clarendon, which is our county seat for Donnelly County. We traveled the entire Panhandle, Wheeler County, because they have part of Route 66 as well. And so we make day trips out of our history learning, and we mostly Old West comes up. We have a lot of Old West history, y'all, and it is just incredible. I love it. But to see the articles written that are out there with the Shamrock Texan back in 1923 up to 34, I go into my head for imagination and read these articles of when the state was trying to get that Jericho Gap finally, paved, and it just never happened.
No, that was an infamous mud trap out there. When I first started delving into this, and I'm smart enough, the more I learn, the more I realize how little I know. And a lot of the stuff I wrote needs to be updated or corrected. I used the best material I had at the time, but as you have uncovered things, I see there's a lot more to know. How old is Jericho, the town itself?
Oh, gosh. Well, it started as a stagecoach stop back in, I think, 74, 75.
Oh, so it's one of the older towns in the Panhandle.
Yes, Correct. Jericho was a stagecoach stop, as corrected and listed online. And it also served as a way and means for people to deliver mail from, which is Old Clarendon. Right now, it's Old Clarendon is under Lake Greenbelt. And then it would travel north. The Star Mail line would travel north to Old Mobedy, where Fort Elliott was, and then Old Tascosa headed west during that time. And those were the only three towns that were here during the Old West of the Texas Panhandle.
A lot of my information, I was very privileged when I first started delving into some of this was Delbert True, because he had a ranch out there, of course, by the Jericho Gap area. Yeah. And he was so he and his wife have been so instrumental with the developments there in McLean.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Really, in March of 2020, we called up Ruth and we asked her if Mr. True could meet us out at the museum and show us around, because, you know, they're closed during that time. And of course it was COVID. He met us out at Barbed Wire Museum, and we got a personal tour from Mr. True, and that was really our first time meeting him, and we've remained good friends since.
Oh, he's quite a fellow. You know, he's got to be just about as old as rope now. He's
no doubt.
He's getting up there. At its peak, what was the business district of Jericho? Still delving into that?
Oh, yes. Well, I do. I always look for any type of business that was there at Jericho. So there was a mercantile store. There was two mercantile stores there, and one of them belonged to Blair's great-great-granddaddy, Alexander Schaefer. There was a livery stable, of course. Then we had a lumber yard, which was behind the old motor courts, which the foundations are still out there for that. And you could see all the wood and, bits and parts of history left there. There was a baseball field also behind the old motor courts there. And a birthing house was at Jericho. There was a bank at Jericho. It was part of the Allen Reed Jericho bank system. And there was two additional hotels. There was a Hotel Lions, which, you know, we've only been privileged to be given a flyer of what that looked like back in its day. And then, of course, the motor courts that was there.
That would have been first on in the modern era, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Jericho would have been on the Ozark Trail system, which was the predecessor to Route 66. And then Route 66. How did that affect, like, the auto court? How old is the auto court?
It was built in 1911.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. By Phil Reeves.
Boy, that is an early. So what did it start out as?
We're thinking that it initially just had one, because it's an L shape. So we're thinking that there was the very front part of it where, you know, you would have been able to get gas was there first. And then the other rooms were added on later. We can tell whenever we go into when we were doing cleanup, you could tell just how it was built. It would have been added on later on.
Well, you know, this is a testimony to your infectious enthusiasm for this project. When you have cleanup days, how many people show up for that?
Well, our very first cleanup day, we had about, 40, babe? 40 and 50 people, and they were all roadies. They came from all over the country, excited to help us clean up. We had some locals as well, but we had more out-of-town people staying with us in their trailers at Jericho. And then the following year, we had 10, and so we're hoping that this year we can... We're adding a metal detecting day, so we're hoping to gain a little bit more, check-ins, social media check-ins, and we'll have some food for everybody. But on an average, it's about anywhere from, I would say, 30 to 40 if we averaged it out.
You know, the Route 66 community is amazing how they'll come together and support this kind of assistance, if you will. What dates will your cleanup be this year? Your metal detector day.
Oh, that's going to be a Mother's Day weekend.
Okay.
That is going to be the 10th. Well, you can show up on the 10th and camp out, and we're doing 11th and the 12th.
May 10th, 11th, and 12th. Okay.
Correct.
I'll see if we can get that out there. That is really exciting. I can only imagine if you get some people out there with metal detectors. Oh my gosh, does that spark the imagination? What might turn up?
Oh yes, we've had some friends of ours come out and do some metal detecting with us, and we found a spoon out in the middle of it, literally. The side that no one would really travel to. It's closer more to the Rock Island Rail than it was anything else. And so we've found spoons. We found little bullets, of course, knives, just really cool small things, but it still tells a story.
I know it's a long ways down the road, but what is your eventual goal? Jericho, if I may ask.
Sure. We're excited to be working on this year. We want to put an RV park out at Jericho, which is closer to our garden. And then hopefully in the next 5 years, have a duplicate of the tourist courts built in the same, well, not in the, like right there by the tourist courts, but in that area where families and folks traveling can stay with us. It'll be a duplicate of the old tourist courts. And that was going to take some time, we know, and of course, a little bit of fun bucks, but yes. It's going to be worth it. And you know, eventually later, we've even thought of replicating the Hotel Lyons, because it was a two-story wooden hotel wrap around beautiful porch. And Blair's other great-granddaddy, Black, worked there. And we can only imagine what the inside looked like. But if we could create some of the things that were there, the nostalgia of the time, where people could come in and have a stay at the Jericho Tourist Courts, or if they want to stay at Hotel Lyons. We even found out during Prohibition that the Hamlin boys were responsible for part of the moonshine bust at Jericho. So we want to create a cigar room / drinking room and call it the Hamlin room. You know, these are things in history we want to honor our ancestors at Jericho, and have something there for people to stop and visit. And we get to tell them the story of the Old West, and then Route 66, and then the plans for our future. And, you know, sometimes I think in my head, wow, I'm 51. I got a late start on this, and I've got the rest of my life to bring happiness and smiles to people that are traveling either old Route 66 or they found it some other way, and just to bring them nostalgia of our little place.
You know, that is, gosh, that's what I say. You know, you're so inspiring, you guys. And I find, you know, part of this is Route 66, the it's got I don't have another word for it, but it's got a magic that once people get addicted into this, it's hard to stop. It just draws you deeper and deeper. It becomes a family. It becomes a community.
Yes.
And what you envision is so important for upcoming generations to keep that history alive. Something you and Blair might, I don't know, do you know about Earl's Motor Court in Winslow?
No, I don't.
I will send you the information for Bless and Angela. They're about your age. They lived in Winslow, was their hometown, and their whole life. And as a fluke, they came into a bit of money and they decided, well, do we want to keep working or do something special? So they took on this decrepit 1952 marble motor court. And they have put it back together as a living time capsule.
Wow.
And they're really fascinating folks, but they might be able to, you know, do a little bit of brainstorming ideas on where the funding comes from and how to put some of these things together. The Jericho Gap situation, of course, there's always great stories about people in places like Jericho Gap. In the old days, helping themselves through lean times by making sure the road's wet enough that they have customers to pull out of the mud.
All right.
Have you ever documented anything like that?
I have, just besides what we've read online, I haven't been able to find anything yet about those stories in articles, but I believe it. I believe it without a doubt, because we were surrounded by, you know, during that time, there were so many water, there was access to water for the families there, whether it's Jericho or Boydston, or even down at it's called Carroll Creek, which is south of us, between us and Lake Greenbelt. And so there was lots of water sources that I know that these families could have gotten water and just made it just as muddy as they wanted to. I have no doubt. But yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, we've got a question here. Nolan is asking, if you know where Burl's place was. It was also known as the Jericho Lunchroom. He found an ad for it in the Groom newspaper from 1928.
Mm-hmm. I've been looking for that as well, because anything that has a Jericho attached to it, I will spend days upon days researching and looking for, well, what was it? Was it a restaurant? And where was the restaurant? Was it at Jericho, or was it Ingram, or was it between? There were so many towns between Jericho and Groom that it could have been anywhere. However, I'm not stopping. I'm just going to keep on looking for that.
What was the, at its peak, do you know what the population of Jericho was?
Oh,
how
yes,
big it got?
It's 150.
Wow. Mm-hmm. 150 people, and it just it gone.
Yeah.
Did it have a railroad depot as well?
Yes, definitely. There was many families that were there for the Rock Island. And I would say the very first family, I want to say the pioneers and the families to be there, was the Ashmead family. They were there when the Rock Island was there and tracks being laid down, and they were the last family to leave Jericho. And the families, the grandchildren, have been able to, our age also, have been able to share pictures and photos of that as well. But definitely lots of families, because we've been sent pictures and articles of different families that live there with that love affair with the Rock Island Railroad.
Well, you know, once you get this ball rolling like you're doing with social media and other things, and you start promoting this and asking for information, you know, there's a lot of families out there they're digging things out of the attic, or old things that they're turning up that they didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And what I love about that is I have like great, I have great grandparents that are, that were just children that lived there, that send their, you know, pictures to us. They'll mail us information, or they'll get in touch with, you know, the Clarendon newspaper and say, hey, will you send this to the Schaefers, or get in touch with them, or the people are willing to connect and share their stories. And I'm so grateful for that, because it's one, sparks life for them, and then sparks life for us, so that we can continue that legacy and continue those stories from here on out.
Well, it sounds like you and Blair have a quite a lengthy family connection, a lot of family associated with Jericho.
Blair does. Boy, howdy, I tell you what, when we started digging in, you know, the Schaefers came through this way in 1894, and they settled up at McClellan Creek, which is not too far from Jericho. But come to find out, there was a livery stable that Alexander Schaefer built at Jericho. The second baby buried at Jericho Cemetery is a Schaefer. And then the kids just grew up there selling horses. We have bill records of horses being sold, tax bills being paid on horses. And, you know, those are the things that we've been able to find out there. And we've been able to see the that Grandpa Alexander had a horse brand that was registered with Donley County just a few days before Charles Goodnight had his registered. So there's a lot of history there for Blair's family, which is really, we're looking for that too.
I can see that. That is really neat. I've got another question here for you about the Ashmead Garage. Any ideas on that one?
I'm thinking that it had to be probably close to where the last remaining farmhouse there was the Ashmead farmhouse that belonged to them. So I'm thinking that it could have been close by. The records that we have for Jericho is just a plat map. We don't have a listing of who owned which property, and they're really not marked. Jericho was supposed to be a really big place. When we go look at the plat map and at the Donley County Courthouse, it's huge. Jericho was supposed to be a bigger town than what we could ever have imagined.
It just didn't grow as expected.
No. And, you know, unfortunately, it's when the railroad came in, it gave it its boost. And then, of course, we had old Route 66, and people traveled there. But as soon as they moved Route 66, you know, about half a mile north, it just kind of phased out, like we all know.
Started to wither on the vine.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression, it didn't survive. And it's sad. A lot of little towns there didn't survive.
Do you have, I know you post a lot of this on social media, the discoveries you make. Mm-hmm. Do you have a website or any place where you're displaying this material?
Well, we don't yet. We had our website up, and then we're going to revamp it. And I'm at a point, Jim, where now I need professional help. Okay. In documenting our journey. And so I can post and put everything up there, but now I really want to build something that will be user friendly for our website visitors and have something very interactive for them. So that is something that we're working on right now.
If people find materials on Jericho and would like to get a hold of you, or is there a best way to do that, Blanca?
Well, I tell everybody we're easy. We like to share our phone numbers. You know, mine is 806-690-4428. Blair's is 806-676-4927. And call or text. Either way, you can't reach one, you reach the other, or if not, we too try to return phone calls as quickly as possible. We are on social media at Jericho and 66 for Facebook and Instagram. And both of us, we have our Facebook pages open so people can message us as well.
I will get that information. I'll do a blog post as quick as I can this next week about the podcast today with Jericho and what you're doing. And I'll make sure your phone number's there and Facebook information. And we'll also get up a little bit of information about the cleanup day and metal detecting. And if you'll send me any information you have on that, I'm working with Marian Pavel with the Route 66 navigation app, and we're adding, he's added an event section to the Route 66 navigation app, and I'll make sure that gets added to the app.
Oh, wonderful. I need to get on that app too. I've learned so much from you guys, and I'm so appreciative of everything that you've shared throughout the years. And because I follow what people are doing to stay and give our travelers the most and best up-to-date information that for the entire route. I've learned so much, and just being part of, you know, the community here in Amarillo, and then when we, Blair and I, venture out just to learn about the history and the love affair with the Route 66. I'm just really grateful to you guys for doing that for us beginners, because now we have our grandson that's living with us, and he gets to be on these travels and on these journeys with us, and he's learning. And if we can keep him captivated in learning the route, then we've got another generation there that we've been able to impact. And so that will be our responsibility, is to continue that with him and our grandchildren.
My association with Route 66 dates to 1959, and I really am that old. But when I started working, writing, documenting, I was building on the work of the pioneers like Michael Wallace, Jim Ross, Jerry McClanahan, and it's a new generation, and you're it. You're taking over the mantle from us old timers, and you're doing a great job with this. You know, something that came to mind, popped into my head. How is your internet access out that way, or cell service, I should say?
For the cell service, it's great. We have been looking for internet providers in the area for, you know, if we want to just put something at the house. There's two houses out there. There's another house that's closer to the garden, and there's just, it has to be line of sight, and the internet connection for most of the area is just really not that good if I was to try to find something for my house.
Well, you know, this popped into my head. It's another one to stir your imagination. Somewhere down the road, we put together, with working with Kingman Main Street here in Kingman, Arizona, we put together a narrated, self-guided historic district walking tour. We put together little plaques with the two paragraphs about the site, an historic photo, and then a QR code that you scan with your phone, and it links to a website. Each site has its own page with an audio narration of what we know about that location, the people. And it'd be kind of interesting as you document and get to know where these buildings were, to create kind of a virtual Jericho with kiosks showing where the Lions Hotel was, whatever picture you have, and whatever history you have of it, so people could have kind of a walking virtual tour of the old town of Jericho.
Definitely. We were actually talking about that the other day, because, you know, we have foundations that are laid out throughout the property. And so our goal this year is to manicure them and to get them cleaned up and to provide something like that. And because there's a whole lot more that everyone just usually stops at the motor courts and at the Ashmead House, but there's a whole lot more foundations. And you're right, that's something definitely we would love to start and create for our travelers. That would be phenomenal, I think.
Well, I'm hoping that this today, what we can do is generate, shake the trees a bit and see what shows up with information for you, because this is a wonderful project. And I know you're looking at, you're also gardening, but you're looking at kind of creating a working farm. Is that correct?
That is correct. We, you know, during COVID is what happened is we started growing vegetables. We used to have a gym right next door to our smoothie bar here in Amarillo. And so when they closed down gyms, we decided to change our gym into a plant nursery and grow food. And with that, we started selling vegetables, which would happened organically. That was not our intention. Our intention was just to feed us and our families, you know, immediate families. And we thought, well, we have land and we have a well, we might as let's see what this does. And so it's turned out to another source of income for us, which is, you know, by
all good.
Always good. And we're able to feed the community. It's just been something that has been really touched our heart to keep sure that everybody's fed, you know. And in addition to that, folks, they want to support. They were like, hey, can I just buy something for the season? And then it just grew exponentially from that. So we're like, yeah, sure. And but it's a labor of love, because what we get to do is we know that we're providing fresh. We can't say organic because we're not a certified organic farm, but we don't use pesticides. And this little venture that we have is able to feed travelers that are stopping by or spend the night with us, because we are a harvest host and a hip camp host. So they're able to travel and have a good source of food from that's just fresh made, one cut, and they get to take it with them, you know. And everything starts there with Jericho, and that's when we get to go into the history of our little ghost town. And being part of agriculture in the panhandle is tough, but we're tough and the people around us are tough, and that's what our ancestors were.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Even though that the town dwindled away, just to make this little Jericho survive as long as it did from those families before us, we know that if they were able to grow there, then damn it, we can grow there too. Yes. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to.
Two questions that come up. Your smoothie bar in Amarillo, where is that located?
We've been at that location at 12th and Polk, right downtown. It's by the visitors, center, the Amarillo Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And, it's an old historic building. Imagine that.
Surprise.
Yeah. It was built in 1923 and, we've been there for 7 years.
And now, for folks who aren't familiar, the Harvest Host, can you kind of just explain that?
Well, sure. Harvest Host is it's like a membership for travelers that are either in fifth wheels, motorhomes, your little bitty pop-ups. They go to that website, apply for membership, and they get to choose how and where they want to travel throughout the country. And so we're listed as a ghost town. That way we don't give a false, we're a working farm where we're, farming all 80 acres. We're a small little ghost town, and you get to might have some fresh vegetables during season. But it gives you the opportunity to list your business or your place as a stop, you know, and we, as a host, it's dry camp. So we don't have to provide hookups or water, even though we do have water for them. We don't have to provide hookups. So this is kind of giving us an idea of how we want to set up our RV park. And this gives us a great lesson of how we need to do A, B, and C without really just jumping into it and not knowing. And
get your toe wet first and see how deep it is and how cold the water is.
For sure. For sure. Because, you know, we sit on a plateau, Jim. Little Jericho gets really cold, and we need to make sure that if our travelers are coming in the wintertime, that we have what they need for heat, for warmth, you know. And sometimes, even if we get below freezing, everything freezes out there. So do we want to stay open during that time? No, not really.
No. If you come and camp during the winter, you might be there for a few days.
Yeah, definitely.
Might not be getting out.
For sure.
Brady had a question about your Texas State Historic Marker status.
Okay, so guys, this was so cool because, you know, this whole time we have this special place. We have Jericho, and we're like, well, we have the Jericho Cemetery Historical Marker, but we don't have one for the Jericho Gap. This place was notorious. You know, the Jericho Gap, people would get stuck, and, you know, they tried to pave it over and over and over. And so let's see if we can just apply for one. So we started researching more. Is there a Jericho Gap historical marker for Texas? Let's look. And we couldn't find one. Then we went to Donnelly County, the Historical Commission, and visited with them this last year. It was during Thanksgiving, beginning of November. And so we all researched and got together, and they said, well, if we haven't seen one, there's not one, then it would be wise that if we go forward with this, you know, let's see what kind of fundraiser ideas we can do. So we launched it. We kicked it off in November. Andy Maroney, who's Dora's husband, said, hey, instead of giving you money, I want to donate some Jericho 66 shields. And so we're just brainstorming at Texas Ivy. And he says, you know, let's do $66 for a 66 shield, a Jericho 66 shield. And I tell you, that went off like crazy. People wanted the shield. They wanted the families that lived and grew up there were sending us money from all over the country because great granddad Ernest Meyer wanted to, you know, homestead there, and they wanted to be on the journey with us, part of this. And so now we were able to accumulate the money for the actual shield and extra if we needed to purchase a new pole, because those things aren't cheap. And now we have to write a 10-page essay, which we've started, and have everything turned in for our next meeting in February.
Oh, this is going to be exciting.
It is.
Boy, you folks are really writing a new, truly writing a new chapter in the history of Jericho. And it's exciting to follow the Renaissance. It just really is. I don't pass these out compliments out willy-nilly, but I do draw inspiration from what you and Blair are doing here. This is taking care of people and giving them an experience, feeding people. I mean, this is pretty fantastic stuff.
I think that's what people need now. You know, right now there's just so much stuff that's going on in the world, and people want an escape, and they want it to be fun, and they want it to be, you know, they want to be part of something. And we want to share. You know, there's so many people that have told us, well, don't tell people where you're at. They'll come take it. And I said, they've been taking it for as long as we can remember. And as long as I know, if they can come to Jericho and they can find something that sparks their interest, you know, it's not just for us, but it's for our communities. When we did cleanup day, we have a table out that's still out there for folks to go look at. And I don't want to trash it yet because it is, you know, it's so old and falling apart. But we have an old record player out there that's metal, and it plays that metal record. And, you know, it's not in great shape at all, by all means, it's not, but you can just visualize it and see it. There was an old TV that was in one of the old rooms that we want to share, and people just want the story. They want to be included. And that's what we want for our communities, whether it's locally or nationwide or worldwide. We want to share that with our families and friends. I think that's a special thing to do for people.
Well, that's, you know, the Route 66 really is an example in general, but building a sense of community, cooperative partnerships, putting aside the divisive stuff that's being spoon-fed to us mm-hmm. for one reason or another, and finding a commonality, a common goal, it's transformative. It really does. That's the key to building a healthy community.
Yes.
And okay. And you're great examples of this. Mm-hmm. Great examples. Thank well, you. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make May. I've got a prior commitment. Actually, on May 12th, I'll have to be out here, but I will be with you virtually. And every year fall, we make a trip east. It's usually a busman's holiday. This last time we were privileged to meet with Dora and a small group down in Amarillo, but we'd sure like to see you folks on our next trip through. Maybe get a little peek at what you're doing.
Yeah, for sure. We love that. You know, we get travelers that are coming through and they'll message us ahead of time and they'll say, hey, we're coming through to Jericho on such and such date. Can we meet up and you come out? We'll drop there. We will drop everything we're doing to give. If someone reaches out to us like that, we're going to meet you there and we'll show you around and we'll give you the grand old tour.
Oh, good, good, good. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you for taking time from your Sunday to do this today.
Oh, my pleasure. Our pleasure. We love it.
I'm so glad that the whole idea is to share inspiring stories and to encourage folks. And, well, like I say, our tagline is that we share America's story and inspire road trips by telling people where to go.
Yes, definitely. Well, you know, I was listening to your podcast last week, and I went to see the Motel Safari, and you were saying that it was up for sale. And, you know, that's an industry that I pretty much grew up in, is travel and tourism and hotel. It has been my whole career, should I say. And I was fascinated with that because when we did Blair and I did our little day trip, we went out there and it's such a neat place. I like Tucumcari. I was like, look at this. What's going on here? And that was actually when we first met the guys out at Glen Rio that we didn't know what exactly was going to be built there yet. And they were kind of doing a cleanup first before they built that dispensary out there. But we did that day trip that weekend, and it was so exciting to learn about that part going into Tucumcari. That was really neat. But to learn that Hotel Safari was going up for sale, I was like, wow. And I was thinking, Blanca, you have enough. You don't need to buy it.
Can only keep so many balls in the air at a time. Yeah, Tucumcari is, you know, it's a hardscrabble town, and it got hit hard. A couple 1-2 punches back when Route 66 was bypassed. But people like Connie Loveland, their Tucumcari Main Street, the downtown historic district of Tucumcari is really starting to come to life. It's about two blocks off 66, five blocks. Another great motel there is David Brenner has taken the Roadrunner Lodge, and that has an interesting history. It's actually two motels on the west side of the property, and I cannot remember the name, There was a motel built in the 1940s, just kind of like your auto court, an L-shaped little motel. And then in the mid-60s, they built the two-story Leatherwood Manor motel, and they linked it to the old motel. And it was not only vacant, but homeless people were living in it. It was a derelict property and a half. People had stolen copper pipes, you name it. And David has transformed that into just a phenomenal living time capsule. And another example is Connie Eccles there at the Wagon Wheel Motel in Cuba. Mm-hmm. She transformed that property, 1930s motel, with it's another just amazing place. Well, gosh darn it. Blanca, thank you so very much for doing this today. And I will get a blog post up about what we talked about with some information for you and how they can get a hold of you if they want to contribute in any way.
Okay.
And if I can ever do anything to help, just holler. Okay. The absolute worst that'll happen is I'll laugh and tell you, well, that ain't happening. But but I generally jump in where I can.
Right. Jim, thank you so much for having us on this morning. I was excited. I had my alarms and I was ready, you know, because you just provide a space for all of us that are trying to share our visions all along Route 66. And I'm very appreciative of you and the community and thank everyone that's been on the journey with us so far. And we look forward to seeing everyone at one time or another. And you guys just, let's keep doing this. Let's keep sharing, everyone.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing this. You bet. I wasn't, I'm glad, you know, I knew you were excited. I was very excited myself about this. I wasn't sure what kind of condition I was going to be in. I was in Burbank yesterday. In fact, yesterday afternoon and yesterday evening, I was in Burbank and I drove back to Kingman last night. So I've got one eye open anyway. It was kind of a 350-mile drive last night. So.
Oh, wow. Well, we had a couple of events last night ourselves, and I wanted to make sure that we were you know, up and ready to visit with you this morning. And I was like, okay, babe, it's time to go. We got to go. Well, I want to be ready for this podcast in the morning.
Well, Blanca, Blair, thank you so very much, not just for taking time, but for what you're doing. And I really do think that you provide inspiration for other young couples. To me, anybody under 60 is one of the young couples. But for inspiring people to do something different, that you can make a good living, you can enjoy life, and the way to do that is, well, make somebody else's life a little better.
That's right. All of us. I agree.
My friends, thank you so very much, and I'll let you go. But we will do this again next week. We're going to talk to Carrie Barrick. Oklahoma Department of Commerce and Oklahoma Route 66 Association. And kind of tying in with what we're doing today, we're going to be talking about the Route 66 Centennial and projects to give some of these small rural communities a new lease on life, if you will. So I think that'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
My friends, until we meet again next week, I'll bid adios. But again, thank you, Blanca and Blair. And well, we'll see you soon.
All right. Goodbye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Take care, my friends. Well, we'll get this thing kicked off with a little bit of music from Joe and Woody and the boys of the Road Crew, roadcrew66.com. And I mentioned the Roadrunner Lodge. Mentioned the Wagon Wheel Motel. You might also want to check out Angela Moreland's place, Cactus Inn Motel and RV Park in McLean, Texas. That's another one for you. Get inspired. Take a step back into the past.
Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
My friends, thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope you found this inspirational and enjoyable. Blanca and Blair are definitely just absolutely wonderful people. Got a lot of stuff to be sharing with you. The podcast programs are archived. Once they're published, they're archived on Spotify, major podcast platforms. They're also available on the Jim Hinckley's America website. Lots of exciting things. I was in California yesterday. Had some discussions with Toshi Goto and his charming wife Yoko with the Japanese Route 66 Association, SAGO, and Scott Piotrowski, the president of the California Route 66 Association. Lots of Route 66 centennial things coming up. Had a conversation with Zdeněk Jurásek of the Czech Route 66 Association this weekend. Some pretty big announcements will be coming up from them very soon. And, well, lots and lots of developments coming down the pike. So I hope that, well, stay tuned. Oh, yes. Brady, yes, I did get a chance to kind of a quick little visit with Jay yesterday as well. It's a kind of an annual thing for us. Except for the Years of the Apocalypse, we do an annual book signing for Road Trip Day over at Auto Books Arrow Books in Burbank. A great store, opened in 1953. In about 2009, they moved from the original location one block up the street. So it's just an incredible store. I have more about that on our website soon as well. But I digress. Lots of exciting things coming down the pike. And, well, see if we can get excited a tad bit. Next week, like I say, we have Carrie Barrick with us. And then the week after that, we have Angie Patarik of the Route 66 Info Station. We are working on getting a scheduled date to talk with the owners of the Pink Elephant Antique Mall in Livingston, Illinois. This is a strange place. Pretty damned amazing. But more on that soon, hopefully. And got some other programs coming down the pike. If you'd like to join us on Sunday as a guest, you've got an event or something coming up, well, drop me a note. And if you have an event along Route 66 coming up, well, send me the information and we'll get it up on the Route 66 navigation app. The Route66navigation.com. Great. Between that and Jerry McClanahan's Easy 66 Guide, that's everything you need for planning a trouble-free and getting a trip and getting the most out of your Route 66 adventure. If you got those two, you got it made. Great point of interest file and now event section for the Route 66 navigation app. Questions I've received about the In Search of Lost Highways series that we've been doing for a YouTube channel. I was very impressed with some of the response. I'm surprised by the response because, well, I don't know what in hell I'm doing. I'm basically bluffing my way through it, kind of like a one-eyed blind man in a dark room with a flashlight. But I was impressed with the comments, and we'll be getting another episode of that up for you real soon. Just look for Jim Hinckley's America on YouTube. Well, with that said, my friends, we've been beating my gums here for about an hour, so I'll let you get to your Sunday morning, and everybody stay safe, dry, warm, and we'll see you next week. Adios, my friends. Vaya con Dios.